We thank you for this morning. Lord, as we continue on in our service, I pray that you continue to move in our hearts. I pray that you soften some hearts. I pray that you touch some families. I pray that you give us the opportunity to ask for forgiveness, to mend wounds, to heal relationships. Lord, this morning, maybe somebody feels just desperate, in need. Lord, I pray this morning that's fulfilled in you. They know you love, they feel your touch, and they feel whole. Lord, I pray that you give new life today. Lord, as we continue on in worship, may we draw closer to you. We do this all to praise your name. Amen. God is good, right? All the time. All right. A little out of practice there. I like it. Some people might not know, and that's okay. All right. But, I hope you guys had a good weekend. I hope life is treating you well. This is like the beginning of a season of life all the time, like at the beginning of school. No matter what, if you have kids in school or not, it feels like it is one of the most hectic times of the calendar. That everything seems to restart kind of feel, and you get a whole bunch just landed on your plate. Or maybe you just feel like that's just life right now, that you've just been juggling everything, and people just keep adding balls of worry and frustration or activities, and at some point you're like, something's got to give, all right? We're starting a series called Take a Breath. And this morning, we're going to talk about the margins, all right? What's the margins? First, before we get going, and we're going to practice something right here, all right? I don't want you to think this is weird. We're not doing something weird. I just want you to take big breaths with me, all right? Just take. All right, one more. All right, one more. All right, somebody's really dramatic over here. All right, not a surprise, right? All right, we calm down. Have you settled? Is it relaxed right now, right? And so no matter what I say, you're like, oh, life's good, right? Are we there? No? All right, maybe we can breathe some more. All right, no, we're going to talk about the margins. And I'm going to be, we're going to talk about the margins. Yeah, of paper, MLA, right? Can you read that? I was going to say, that'd be awesome if you could, right? You see many people, right? Now, is it nice looking, though? Like, it's got a little bit of slant, and it's not the best copy, but there's margins. And I started looking up the history of margins. Yeah, we're going to have a sermon about papers, right, and margins. Isn't that awesome? MLA format, right, is 1-inch borders, right? And I started asking myself, why did they come up with 1-inch borders all the way around? And librarians, back in the day, this is way back, they used to do this because, not to keep it nice and neat, not for order, but because when they would store their books, rodents would chew on the edges. And they didn't want the important stuff to get lost, right? Okay, Pastor just went way off he said rodents eating, please, okay, good luck. All right, we got guests here, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that's why they did this, right? And then it became like the format so students wouldn't write like this. If I can't move into the next slide. That, right? Can you imagine, like, turning this in as a paper to your professor or teacher, right? And you're going, where does it begin, right? And some of us, I think, in reality, have a life that's more like this and less like that, right? Anybody feel that? Do you feel that, oh, this is me, But boy, I see other people. Can you go back? And they seem to be this, right? And there's some jealousy. There's like, ah, they seem to have it all together. I'm going to tell you, 99% of people feel this. Whoa, we went too far, all right? I'm juggling too, all right? They feel this. In fact, I've been sitting in with this group on Wednesday mornings. They're professionals. I don't know why I got asked to be a part of this group, right? I show up, and I'm like, I am the thorn amongst the roses kind of feel, right? They're all suits. They're in scrubs, and there's nameplates. Yeah, ours says Ben Alexander, First Church of the Nazarene. They're like, what is that? What is a Nazarene, right? And they're like doctors, bankers, whatever, and they meet every 6:30 in the morning, Wednesday morning, to talk about what it is to be a Christian who works, right? And how God has designed us to work, right? In fact, he worked 6 days, and then he rested on the one day, right? Now, I know me as a pastor, I like to focus on that one day. I really like to rest, right? But we have a tendency to skim over this gift of what it is for God for us to work. And so as one of the guys were speaking, they just said, you know, the margins of life has no give anymore. That in fact, I even have times where I'm planning to wake up 50 minutes early so I can get somewhere, and I always end up 15 minutes late. And that I have this time set aside for my family, and they're like the first thing that loses out on that time. And that the margins of life just, like, it is this, and we live this out, and it's hectic, and we look at ourselves, and we're going, in fact, I've heard people say, we need more, we need to do stuff, we need to do this, come on. In reality, I think within us, in our culture, in our society, I want to tell you, I think COVID was a blessing in disguise in some ways. It helped us as a society to slow down and reevaluate what's important. Right? I know being able to stay at home with my family, I got to be reintroduced to my family. To let them know, this is who I am, and this is how I love you, and this is what we played games, right? And I got to see their personalities even more. Now, I will say, at some point, I was like, I'm going nuts, right? I need out, especially those times that I got COVID and they, like, put me down in the basement by myself. Woo! I didn't want to be by myself that long. I could barely stand it. I felt bad for my wife after that. All right? I was like, this is who I am. Oh, right? I'm a mess. The Lord used that time. I really believe that for us as a country to hopefully understand filling up our calendar and our schedules doesn't solve everything. Right? We're going to talk about Nehemiah. Our next slide. Nehemiah. Maybe. There we go. Nehemiah 2. All right. Actually, it's really just Nehemiah. Nehemiah 3 is what we're really going to talk about, right? You don't need to read that. You can if you want. I implore you to read all of Nehemiah this week, right? But I want to talk about Jerusalem and it being destroyed by the Babylonians, right? And Nehemiah comes along and he just feels, his heart is wrenched for Jerusalem and his home. And it's just, it's devastated, right? And he decides, I need to go talk to my king, which it could have been, it was one of those scenarios like tentative to go and talk to my king to let me go and repair the damage that was done. And he did. He was brave enough. And the king's like, okay, I'll send you with some people and they'll guard you and protect you and you can go take care of home. But I need a strategy and a plan, right? Can you imagine? I have this mindset of going to Jerusalem and seeing the rubble and going, where do I start? Oh. Like I walk into my office sometimes and I go, okay, nope. It's a mess. There's a lot of paperwork in there. How do I restart this week? I walk into my kids' room, and I'm like, nope. It's a disaster, right? And I have learned through my time, first off, I have a hard time working through clutter. If I have things cluttered all the way around, I can't get anything done. I become very attention deficit bent. And I start looking, okay, there's a sheet there. What's that say? Oh, I'm supposed to be working on this sermon. Oh, I need to make a phone call. Oh, what do you need, Peg? Oh, like it just starts doing this little dance and nothing gets completed and I feel miserable at the end of the day. Anybody else? Yeah, right? And we do, and I think this is also at home, right? You know, one of the first things, nightmare, is waking up and making the bed, right? Is not exciting to me. It's a chore that I think is redundant. And I, in my mind, as I'm making the bed, which I don't make the bed that much, I'm not going to sit up here and pretend that I do. But those wonderful moments that I do that are a gift to my wife, right, which she wishes that I would do that all the time, I do it and I just sit there and go, why? I'm just going to get back in it. And I'm going to ruin it. And why? But this colonel, I can't think of his name, he talked about that they implore their soldiers to do this the very first thing because once you do it, you've finally accomplished something right away. And you feel satisfied as you get going. And to begin your day with that, knowing, ha, I made my bed. Yeah, it's that silly, right? I'm not going to go up to somebody at McDonald's and go, I'm having a good day. I made my bed. They're going to look at me and go, okay, number two for you? Right? Weird. But in reality, for my heart and my mind and my soul, right? Soul, when you complete something, as trivial as that is, there's something to understand that this is a God design here, right? To be able to do something like this, as simple as that, as early as this, to start your day off with completing one task, two tasks, three tasks, is actually what God has designed you for. And the more you start to do it, the more you start to understand who God has designed you to be. Right? And I think what we tend to do is what when we get overloaded, I know this is for me and not maybe for everybody, but when you get overloaded and you start to just push everything to the side and you're like, I can't do this, there becomes this emptiness inside. Some frustration starts to sit there, and even anger. And you go, man, my life is just miserable. Why can't somebody else do this? When am I going to be able to retire? Right? It sits there, and you just hope. And you're like, man, I can't do this. And then internally, you just battle with who you are, and you struggle, right? Imagine getting that one task done for the first week, just going, I'm going to make my bed every day, right? There's many trivial chores that I hate. I really do. But I've noticed when I do accomplish them, they mean a whole lot to me and other people, like putting the laundry away, right? Putting it in the spot that it goes, like actually making it into the hamper. I didn't think would ever be a chore, but it's a chore for me. Right? Anybody else? Just me on an island? Sweet. All right? I have that problem. I'm seeing somebody for it. Right? Then the hard thing, too, is when you get the laundry done and it's nicely folded and then it sits in the laundry basket and you're like, I'm just going to put it on. Why does it need to go in a drawer? Right? I'm just, oh. People pointing people out. I like it. Right? I will tell you, it's not even for my wife, but the moments that I do it, and she's going to hold it to me. I hate preaching this because, you know, she's going to be like, you know, you feel better if you do this. And I'm like, I don't want to do it now. Right? And it becomes that thing. It's a weird battle. But in this, the more we accomplish it, but we have to slow down and start slow. I think what happens is we speed up and nothing gets done correct and we deal with that. All right? And it sits in our mind and it weighs on us. Nehemiah is a very interesting story. So he gets to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem's a mess. And he doesn't get overwhelmed. In fact, he starts building one section, and then all of a sudden, 15 other times he's going, and next to them, and next to them, and next to them, and next to them, and next. I mean, I could do that 15 times, and you're like, okay, when is he going to be done, right? But he had a strategy when he came to this mess. And it was this cool thought that he didn't do this by himself. Listen to that. He didn't do this by himself. He didn't restore Jerusalem by himself. It took a whole army of people that he organized and said, okay, you're going to do this gate, and you're going to do this gate, and you're going to do this gate, and you're going to do this building, and we're going to start this process, and it's going to be you and you and you. Imagine if we started with that concept in our life, that we weren't in this alone. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come to my house and help me make my bed. That's silly. Do you want to? No? All right. No, it's silly, right? But I think there's other things in our life that we are asked and should ask other people to be involved in. You know, we live in a very lonely, isolated culture. We do. In our heart, in our things that we struggle with, we were never called to carry them alone. The hard thing with it is, though, is trusting people with our heart and our lives and our issues. Do you know that? It is. It's one of the hardest things that we deal with. And then Nehemiah could have had the same problem. He could have known, well, you know what? I'm going to put Jackson on that gate. Whew, I've seen his work. It ain't good, right? But he trusted everybody that he put there, right? And they did their work. Now, sometimes people will slack off. People will disappoint you. But the reality is this. How often do you disappoint God? Now, God loves you unconditional. God loves you with all mercy, grace, and peace. It's the reality of us understanding it's not disappointment for God, it's hurt for God. Because he has a desire for your life. He has written out your life, and it's a life that is this glory and full of joy and excitement. Whether it's misery like Job, if we wanted to talk about Job this morning, but he found joy in the middle of that misery because he still was doing what God had called him to do. You understand? Like, in this, no matter what happens, if you have God in the center of what you're doing and you trust God with your life, and he says, okay, this is where I need to lead you, this is what I want from you, this is how I'm going to expect, you know, I'm going to lay this down upon your feet to do. Do you realize that he's put stuff ahead of you for you to accomplish? Yeah. He's trusting you with his work, right? But in that, he also calls us as a church to do this together. He didn't call you to do this alone, right? And this is the hard thing. You know, within that context, it is easy to go, yes, I need people. Why don't they just step up? Why can't they just do? Why can't they just notice me? Why can't they just say, hey, how are you doing? You know what? That would be a wonderful world, wouldn't it? It'd be great if somebody knew that I was hurting, struggling, or dealing with this issue. Just knew. Or if they at least read my Facebook post knowing that, hey, I'm struggling. You know, just a simple like. Right? That becomes kind of that little weird thing in our society that we have adapted to. But in reality, it doesn't do anything for us, right? This is what I think Scripture points us to do. Go and reach out and say, I need help. I need your prayers. I need your time. I need your friendship. I need your guidance. I need your mentorship. I need your grace. I just need your ear. I need to have time of coffee with you. I need to have time with lunch with you. I just need you to be active in my life. Do you hear that? And this is the thing. Guess what? If somebody asks that of you, whew, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Because guess what God has just put on your plate then? That is your job, that your call from that point on for whenever that is. That lunch date, that coffee time, that moment of prayer, that moment of just listening is ordained by God, and you are doing what Nehemiah is asking to rebuild. Now, they rebuilt, right? And it didn't succeed. It was a problem, right? And it's just what it is. You can read on through Nehemiah, but this is what are we rebuilding? We're not doing buildings. We're not doing another building plan out here, right? What we're doing is rebuilding what God has designed for you people, for the people in your life, right? And in us, constantly, we are tearing down sometimes what God has established, and we're hurting and we're frustrated, and we need people to come in and go, okay, and next to them. And next to them, I need them to be praying for me. We need to live where we can start having the margins cut back again. To where our life is defined by who God has designed us to be. Right? And sometimes that's slowing down. One of the coolest scriptures that I love, you find in Galatians. See if it comes up. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in that way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I love this because it gives onus upon us. It gives us the understanding that we are not in this alone. And the reality of this, too, is that it calls us to say, hey, I can't just imagine what your burdens are and step into your life. You had to invite others to be a part of those burdens. And we live in a society that especially I think for men, no, that's mine to carry, nobody else's. Am I right? I'm not going to bother anybody with my stuff that I have. And we transfer that to other issues. Like there's other issues in our culture, and I'll vent and rage about those things, and I'll just be a part of this other thing, and I won't let anybody in where the depths of thy struggles and my pains and the hurts and the things that separate me and God, that's not for anybody else to know. That is not scriptural. You know, I will tell you, I have people that they're confidants in my walk with God, and I spill everything to them. You want to know why? Because I need them to carry my burdens with me. I need them to say, and next to them, they've got this, and they're going to pray for me, and they're going to keep me accountable, and they're going to keep checking up on me and knowing that, hey, I'm doing the best that God has put me here on this earth to do. And if I didn't have that, it is like starting my day without tucking in the sheets and coming home just being overwhelmed and seeing the mess. And seeing in the mirror of what God could and wants and sees what I could be intended for, but knowing that all the things in which I'm carrying the load of on myself and think that nobody else should hear or want to be a part of, and I just am a mess internally. And I'm juggling it so nobody else can see it. You know what? I guarantee you, this world wants to see authentic Christians. That doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means that you live out what Scripture is saying, and in these walls, we confide with each other. We tell each other, hey, we love each other, and we mean it, and we're there for them and praying for them. And guess what? We leave all the judging to God because that's what He's called us to do. But at the same moment, when I get engaged with somebody, when I let them know, hey, this is who I am, and this is what I spill out, and I expect them, and next to them, they're going to help me rebuild what God intended me to be. And in that rebuilding, guess what? If I'm doing something that's knocking down what God has called my life to be, guess what? That person next to them has to come and do. Hey, Ben! Don't do that. It's not healthy. It's not what God intended. And because I invited him into those moments of saying, this is my burdens, these are the things in which I'm struggling with, I've invited him to say, this is how you need to keep me accountable. And in that, too, I don't have the right to be upset with them when they hold me accountable. Do you hear that? I don't have the right to be upset that they called me the carpet. I don't. Because you know what they're showing me? God's love. They want the best for me. They want the what God naturally intended me to be, right? Now, in that, also, I think this is where we need to really start. This is all good stuff. I think this is what God has called us. But before we even get to that point, I think we need to start here at Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Starting with God. Giving everything to God is the biggest breath of relief that you can ever do. It's the biggest, and next to them is God. And God restores. God mends. God heals. Whatever is sitting in your life, your soul, your heart, whatever wound that resides there, God wants to restore that. God wants to mend that wound. God wants to let you know that it's more to life than that one moment that you captured in. Right? Let's go to the next one. Matthew 6:6 says this, but when you pray, go into a room, close the door, pray your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what you have done in secret will reward you. I think this is so substantial in the prayer. Like there's so much, I'm kind of taking this out of context because he's telling us how to pray. But in this, I want us to reside with this thought process in this time to slow down that is not for anybody else when it comes to me and God, that I spend my quality time alone with him, listening to him. Many times we go with God and we're like, here's my laundry list, fix it. And we don't give him time to respond. We don't give him time to even speak to us. We don't give him time that he desires in the relationship with us. And there's things probably he doesn't want to fix, he wants to use. There's probably things that he wants to say no to in your life that you're begging for. But we don't give him the time to speak to our hearts. And I love that he says, do this in secret. He says, do this in a place that you're alone. These are Jesus' words. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you personally. And in that intimacy, he doesn't give anybody else the space for it because he takes up the entire space. He wants to be totally saturated by you. Imagine being alone with God, actually in his presence, right? I think I would be speechless, scared, frightened, ready to bow down. Lord, give me, I won't even know what to say. I'd be frightened in that moment because not that I'm thinking God will hurt me, but because I know he's the creator of all things. And he has made this universe. And if you think about that, whoa! And that he is taking his time to come off his throne and show his presence before me, who is a nobody in this world, but I'm a somebody to him. And I know I'm a somebody because Scripture shows it, and I believe it, that he sent his Son for me. Imagine taking that moment with God and not even speaking, not adding any of your voice in it, just listening. breathing in his presence, starting your day off like that spiritually. I can't tell you, I feel like it puts everything else in its place. The moments I do that, the moments that I'm alone and I'm quiet before God, my day looks so much clearer than it ever has before. Bird flipped at me. Do I still get yelled at? Do I still disappoint people in my life? Absolutely, but it helps me understand how God's going to move in that. Are there moments that I feel lonely? Absolutely, but the moments that I allow God to have that time with me, I don't feel that loneliness anymore. There have been times that I have sat in my car for long trips by myself, turned the radio off, and I will say, like, 3 hours into the trip, I'm like, how did I get here? I've forgotten that last 3 hours because I have spent in that time being overwhelmed by God's presence. And the person that was driving 3 hours ago is totally different than the person that arrived at his destination. Only because God was saturating that space. And I invited God into that space. This series, we're going to learn the importance to slow down and take in what's important. Slow down and go, okay, is this issue that I have with somebody, is it really that important enough to cause a fracture? Do I need to just go and forgive or ask for forgiveness? Right? Now, let me bring you back to and them. We are a church that grows, all right? Growth for us is this. We desire for you to grow spiritually. We desire for our church to grow spiritually together. And in that, that means you have to commit to some things. If you want to grow spiritually, if you want to be what God has intended you to be, some of those ways that we offer is small groups. And they're coming up. All right? And if you want to be able to have an atmosphere where people you know are going to carry your burdens the way God has desired us to be part of each other, guess what? Small groups offers that. It offers us an opportunity to be what God intended us to be, to break bread with each other, to talk about God in a way that we aren't able to do even here together, to give us an opportunity to go, hey, this is my life, these are the struggles that I have, and now I'm not alone in this. I know somebody else is with me, right? They give us opportunities to help each other be accountable. They give us opportunities to be the ones that go, hey, I see a rubble, and I need to be a part of the people that fix this rubble back up, right? We live in a culture that's rubble. We live in a culture right now that is pained and just destroying itself, and guess what? We are called to be the ones that come in and build it back up with love, grace, and mercy. But it starts with our small groups, right? We are called to be a community that grows together. And in that, we are desiring to have small groups that are doing that, right? And I'm going to have Kathy come up. She's going to kind of talk about that real quick. And she's got some other announcements. And after she's done announcements, I've got a couple things to say too. If that's okay, is that all right? All right. There is a mic. Did you mute it? Oh, no, it's off. I hate these things. All right. Let's see if it's on. Oh, it said power off. I thought you said you turned it on. There we go. All right, let's see if we got her. Let's see.
Hello?
Nope. Here we go. I'll let you talk out of this. There we go. Is that all right? You want to hold on to it?
I guess.
All right. I'll let you hold on to that.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're awesome with technology.
Okay, so we still have sign-ups out here on the table. If you've been praying about it, thinking about it, joining a small group, which I hope you will, that you'll go out there and sign up. You can still sign up. starts next Sunday. That doesn't mean you'll have a meeting on Sunday. Leaders, I'm going to contact you this week to let you know who's on your in your team, who's in your group, and then you'll hear from your leaders about when you'll meet. But the starting date will be starting on Sunday throughout the week. So stay tuned for that. But like I said, you can sign up if you haven't signed up yet. Also, I'm up here to talk about Soul Sisters. And we, a lot of times, get together and connect. We love connecting, getting together. This month, we're going to start a Bible study that's going to be one Saturday a month for the next 3 months. And it's going to be September 17th, Saturday morning, September 17th. We're going to use the SOAP method of Bible study. So if you're interested in that, I don't think there's a sign-up sheet, but you can see me today or I'll have a sign-up sheet next week. So if you'd sign up for that. Also this month, on September 23rd, we're going to connect at our fire pit connection.
Sorry. It gets excited.
Our fire pit connection that we've had years before. So on September 23rd, it's a Friday night at 6:30. We'll have sign-ups for that too, or just show up. Bring a lawn chair, show up. We have fire pits. Logan Sargentson gets that together, and we'll have a fun time out there just connecting. So just stay tuned for that. Sign up. Think about it. Come. We'd love to have you.
Awesome. Thank you, Kathy. Give her a hand. All right, so men things, too. We got men things going, right? Rugged. Anybody going to Rugged? We got one right now. Come on. Rugged is an awesome event, all right? You know the dates? I don't have the dates in my mind or whatever, but all the information about Rugged, it is at Camp Table Rock, and I believe you can go shooting things, right? I don't know, chop some wood, beat a bear, any of that kind of stuff. It's a men's retreat, right? The really important thing about Rugged is it is a chance for us to get together as men and draw closer to God, all right? And it's an awesome trip. Sign up if you're interested. If you have questions, reach out, I'll reach out to you if you sign up, okay? It's a lot of fun. I implore you to be a part of that. Again, small groups, please visit Kathy out there for small groups. All right. If you're just like on the edge of saying, well, I don't know, small groups have been bad before. I don't know. I'm nervous. Sign up. We'll give it a try. Think about it. Pray about it. Get alone with God. All right. Because God can tell you, hey, no, you shouldn't. Or actually probably tell you, yes, you need this in your life. Okay. Stand with me. This week, this is your challenge for this week. Start your day off alone with God. Maybe it takes you to wake up a little bit earlier in the mornings. Maybe it takes, okay, after I get all dressed and ready and get everybody gone out of the household, I take a moment. Maybe it means I'm shutting the radio off as I'm driving to work. Spend some time with God at the beginning of your day. And allow God to speak to you before you open your mouth. Before you start begging for anything. Before you start laying anything down at his feet. Listen for his voice first. All right? The other thing. If you feel alone, if you are carrying burdens, if you feel like life has just been miserable, I implore you this week to reach out to somebody so that they can start becoming the next to them for you. All right? Church, go in God's presence this week.